We've been doing some sessions on the courtroom, and as we've visited with each other and we talked about it, we felt like we were going to take a little hiatus from teaching on this, that we're moving into wanting to lay some more foundation for this, because we don't want it to turn into works and religious doings or getting trapped in the law or things like that, because the courtroom is real, but we don't want to end up having I just don't want it to turn into a great big work of how to do it, because we're seated in heavenly places in glory with Him, and we have to be really careful when we get hold of these truths that we don't go back down into our soulish man, into our soulish realm, and into our fleshly man, and try to work our way back up and try to do something to earn what we're already seated in and what the cross has already paid for us. And it's real easy to get caught in that, because it feels good to our soul to be doing something. That's our comfort zone. We want to do something to earn, you know. And so I'm wanting to go in and do some more foundational teaching on our identity, our new creation man. I want to go into teaching on the realms that we, the three realms of our physical, earthly, soulish, and glory realm that we, three different realms we can operate out of. And so we're going to build up into that, and then there will be a time that we'll go back into some more on the courts with a little more foundation teaching, because if we're not careful, we'll get into that whole thing where we'll get trapped to where we step down out of heavenly places, and we'll get back into our soulish realm and try to earn it and do it that way. So I think we need to go back and focus again on who we are and identity. I think you and I discussed it a little bit too, and just revisit that a little bit. And of course, it's going to be a little different from a year or so ago, because I've grown since then, and you guys have grown since then. So tonight we're going to, we started last week and laid a little bit of foundation, was looking at our outward man and our inward man and where we're seated at just a little bit. But tonight I want to look at new creation. I touched on it a little bit, and we touched on being a kainos, new creation man. And these are things that, if we don't know these, that's when we will make all the things that we should, the fullness of the work of the cross will become works again. It will become, it's almost the same as going back into the law. And Paul says, you know, why would you go back and put yourself in bondage again? Earning, working, doing all these things to possess what you're seated in, to possess the finished work of the cross. So we have to be careful. I was visiting with one of you guys, I don't know which, I lose track of who I'm talking to sometimes, that, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was real big. The one I can think of is the Deliverance Ministry, and they came out with all these manuals and all these things of here's the list of all these demonic stages and all these listings. You know, you have these branches and all these are under this one and all this one is under this one and all, you know, and you got to go down and you got to deal with this one and work your way up and deal until you get to the root of it or start it through. I can't remember. There's so much stuff to go through, you know. And I was like, that's works, you know, and what it's doing is it's putting us back in bondage, and it takes you out of a place of rest, and it causes hopelessness, because then you're back to, I got to do something. Why isn't this working for me? Oh my gosh, you know, and I'll have, you know, I just catch these little phrases and conversations with people that'd be like, they get excited and they get, you know, boy, I'm ready for, but I got to start doing something so that I can live this out, so I can walk in this, so I can have the fullness. I was like, no, right there we missed it. If we have to do something to live from the finished work of the cross, then we've, like Paul has said when he was talking to the Galatians, and they were, you know, read the whole chapter of Galatians. It deals with that subject a whole lot, where they were wanting to get back into circumcision. He's like, I came and I, you know, I shared the gospel with you and the freedom of the gospel, and you were doing signs and wonders and miracles. This stuff is in there. I'm paraphrasing, of course. And then all of a sudden somebody come in and wanted to put you back under the law again and say you have to be circumcised. It's like, foolish Galatians, why do you want to go, put yourself back under the law. Why do you want to do these things? You know, because you have feeling like you have to earn your salvation, you know. And we don't want to do these things with even this kind of stuff. Someone was wanting to give me a book. I'm just working into opening up here. Someone was wanting to give me a book about all the different ailments, physical ailments. And it was a big, thick book. And this was a religious book that was going around, and people were doing it, and then say, how do you know, you know, you want to deal with all these sickness and diseases where you have all these roots? If you have this and you have this, then that means you have this and you have this. And it was talking about emotional things that are connected with sickness and all this. And, the Holy Spirit instantly said, no, don't go there. Don't read that. Don't subject yourself to it. Don't go back under the law. And I was like, wow, you know. And that's another example. We can do that, but all of that is going back down and living in the soulish realm. And the word says, Paul says, if you're going to do one, then you have to fulfill them all. You are bound to fulfill. If you think that you're going to be purified and cleansed for one, then you're going to have to follow every single one of them. That's what he was telling them when they wanted to be circumcised. If you decide that the only way that you can have the fullness of salvation is to be circumcised, that means you're going to have to fulfill all the law. And, of course, the word says we can't fulfill the law, and that's why Christ came to fulfill the law for us. I'm going to get into it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That it's no longer just trusting and resting in God, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
So good.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Any little anything.
Yeah.
I happen to be that for this or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we put it on ourselves.
Yeah.
And we feel good about it.
Yeah. And our soulish man likes that because the soulish man wants to be doing something. And the soulish man wars against the spirit because the soul wants to be doing something. It wants to be earning something, you know, and that's religion, and that's the works, getting back in works and everything. Yeah. And so eventually we're going to get into teaching about the three realms that we live out of, not dimensions, because there's multiple dimensions, and we are multiple dimensional beings, but I don't want to confuse you. But, you know, there are three basic realms, you know, our physical realm, our soulish realm, and the glory realm. And the work of the cross has delivered us and brought us into the glory realm, and that's where the courts are at. That's where we operate out of the courts. We don't want to step back down out of glory where we operate and live and dwell in glory where the fullness is from. But I want to go in and get back into our soulish man of works or the soulish realm. But we're going to build into this. So tonight I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you know, I opened it up last week a little bit, and I want to go into looking at new creation. So if some of it sounds repetitive to some of us, then bear with me, because I feel like we need to lay this foundation so that we can get into trueness of what it really means to walk in the courts. And it's not going to be from our soulish man. It may help us all understand more where we're going. And just to give you a little, in case next week you're wondering, this week I'm touching on new creation man, our kainos being, who we are. Next week I want to share on kainos versus neos, because when the word uses new creation, there's different places, like where it says new can mean neos, which is new in time, and kainos is a new different kind. New in time is neos. I don't think I have it down there, but and kainos is new, a new kind, brand new species. So next week I want to look at the difference, you know, kainos versus neos, and we'll touch on that a little bit. And like I said, I'm not. I had a couple people tell me that I go too fast, and I'm trying to share too much, and I'm dumping so much that they get the first half and the last of it. They're kind of left because they're pondering and trying to think and trying to get it. You've told me before, and I had a couple other tell me this week that. So I asked Holy Spirit to help me break these up. Because I get excited, and I'm just like, you know. And you're like, wait a minute. I think I got the first few paragraphs of what you were sharing, and then I'm done, you know. But so Holy Spirit, help me. So I'm going to break it up in pieces, and it may be a series for a little while, which is good because that gives me something to teach on for a while. Amen. So new creation. You're a new creation, a kainos being. In Christ, you are a heavenly being, a kainos being. And when we look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 in Strong's, the word new says kainos. It doesn't say neos. There's two different terms for new, kainos or neos. And we'll touch on that more next week. But you are a new creation being living on earth, living in a physical body. You're no longer an earthly being trapped in sin consciousness. We really touched on that last week a lot. Struggling to make it to heaven are struggling to live from the kingdom of heaven. I probably should have put that in there, because my whole vision for this is to learn how to live from the kingdom of heaven to earth, towards earth, learning how to live out of that glory realm. We want to look at our old man, our old nature, just a little bit. And like I said, we may be rehashing a little bit of stuff, but this is what I felt like the Holy Spirit said to do. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Releasing a lot of word, I like to do that because I don't want to give, I want it totally backed up with the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation," new kainos, kainos creation. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So he said, old things have passed away. The old man, the old nature, that old sin consciousness. Remember I shared last week that the fall, the original fall of Adam and Eve, wasn't that they just ate an apple or whatever, you know, what our natural man thinks, but it was that separation of God from God. They fell from God consciousness to sin consciousness, to self-consciousness. They were living from their spirit man. But then when they fell and they lost that God consciousness, they started living, he could only live from his soulish man. Now this is good. He couldn't live from his spirit no more. He could only live from his soul. That's what it meant by he was locked out of heaven. When he fell, he was no longer living from his spirit. Now, understanding that the kingdom of heaven is within us, that's the first place where we need to learn how to connect with God. Now, yes, there is a whole difference between the heavens of heavens, the kingdom, but our first place where we begin, that first place we start is the kingdom of heaven is within us. And that's where we need to start learning how to relate, how to encounter, how to stand before God, come into his presence. It's heaven within us. So when they were locked out of heaven, they were no longer able to live from their spirit. They were only able to live from their soulish man and the physical man. Does that make sense? Let's go look at Galatians chapter 2. And just to throw this out there, I've heard people say that Eden is that place, that garden within us. We have a garden in our heart, so to speak. We've taught on this and touched on it before. But if they were locked out of Eden, it was that heaven within them. They couldn't live from their spirit anymore. And their spirit man had access. And now that we are new creation beings, we have access. We can walk in and out like John, was it 9, something we were sharing last week. He says, "I'm the door. Now you can go in and out." In and out, yes. Okay, Galatians 2, 2:20. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer," this is Paul, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, there's really several good statements in that, but I want to look at it's no longer I. It's no longer you and I. When we've come and become into the, given our life, and we ask Jesus to be, you know, we've given our life to Jesus, we've come into that place of salvation, then it is no longer I. It's no longer us who lives, but Christ lives in us. The old man has passed away. The reason I'm sharing this is because the old man's not there anymore. The soulish man is there, but in Romans 12, 2, it says that we need to become that living sacrifice, that we are renewed in the spirit of our flesh, and our soul needs to be renewed. And the renewal, it's kind of like a process in a way, but it actually is an awakening is what I like to call it. It's all there for us. Salvation, the fullness, our full inheritance. Jesus says, it is finished. When we're seated in heavenly places, all, you know, in Ephesians it says, all that you have need of, all in all, is available to you. We just don't know. Is that, you know, we don't know what all is available to us. We have to learn. We have to be awakened. We have to gain knowledge. We have to gain understanding of all that is available to us. And we can't access it live out of it until we know it's available to us, till we're awakened, and then we have to believe. And we'll touch on believing later on in this series that we're going to go into. Romans 6:8. Romans chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." So your old man, your old nature, that old sin nature has died. It's no longer I, no longer you. We're no longer living. It's Christ who lives in us. We live in him. We died with Christ. We also live with him. Colossians 3:3. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died. It's no longer you who lives. Your life has been hidden with Christ in God. We are in him. The old man, the old sin nature, that old identity is dead. It's buried. We got more than two witnesses here to tell us that it's no longer. But we want to resurrect it all the time. We want to get into works. We want to find formulas. We want to figure out ways to do things. We're trying to resurrect that old sin nature, that old way of doing things, that old religious activity. And we keep wanting to resurrect the old man, the old works of the law. And he says, you know, Paul was telling the Galatians, is one of them, why do you want to go back into bondage? It's bondage because it leaves you hopeless. It leaves you wanting. It's like, I can't do this. If you guys have felt that way, when you get these awesome manuals, I heard a minister say that if you were to take one of our manuals, so to speak, one of these manuals, let's just say the ones on the courts, we're not putting down the courts because the courts is very important. It's very big. It has a definite purpose, but we're going to learn how to access it and walk in it the proper way because people are making it into works again. And so we don't want to fall in that trap because it will take us back years and we want to go forward. We want to walk into maturity. We don't want to fall back into bondage again. But he says, if we were to take this, some of these manuals to the Bushmen of Africa or something like that, you know, and tell them, you know, if we were wanting to share the gospel with them and say, okay, for you to walk in freedom, and they're going to have all sorts of curses and all sorts of things over their lives. Some of them may have all these, you know, just imagine a bush person's or somebody living like that, what kind of things they would spiritually deal with. And we say, now, you can't get free from these. You've asked Jesus into your heart. But now, let me get these manuals. One, two, wait, here's some more. Let's get on Amazon because Amazon might be delivered I'm getting carried away here, Africa. But here's all these, here's 10 manuals now. Now we have to go back and we have to go back generation to generation. We have to do all these things. And I'm not coming against these things because I taught on them myself, but I'm wanting you to share. I'm trying to explain what's happening here if we're not careful. And then tell these bush people they can't get free until they've gone through all of these manuals. That's not the gospel. That is not the raw gospel, because when Christ came, you became a new creation. You are now seated in heavenly places. All the fullness of the finished work of the cross is theirs, and they shouldn't have to go back through all these things, but they can go into the courts and get verdicts on their behalf. They can go in and get answers to things, you know, and whatever, and from the courts, but they're not going to have to go back and do all these processes and do all these formulas, because they're going to look at you like you're a fool, and you're like, what? You know, first of all, you probably wouldn't be able to get all that information to them. If we were to go into China where they have no access to Christian material and say, well, you can't get free from all of your everything, all the bondage of you're going to have to go back 14 generations and deal with all your mothers and your grandmothers and all these things. And they're going to be like, it would leave them hopeless. Like, what are you talking about? But in Christ, you're a new creation. You're a new being. You're a kainos being, and you are free. He said, it is finished. The pure gospel. We don't want to move away from what the pure gospel is. And there's freedom in Christ. We don't want to put our brethren back into bondage. So this is where we got to be careful with these type of teachings. Forgive me, but I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, be bold. You know, because I was dancing around it for about 3 or 4 weeks. And, of course, her and I were communicating a lot. And I was like, you know, let's be careful and don't get people back in bondage. Let's be careful and don't make this work. And she's like, okay, I understand, you know. But so we're just going to move into understanding who we are. And part of the gospel is understanding who we are in him. If we don't understand who we are, we're not going to live from that new creation man. Now let's go and look at new creation. Back to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I'm going to read it again. It's okay. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you're in Christ, remember I've told you that for 20 years, probably since my early 20s, one of my questions was, and I went on a great search and asking the Holy Spirit to show me what it really meant to be in Christ. And I remember going through the Word and circling every phrase and everything that said in Christ, in God, in Christ. And I still never had it, but just these last 5 or 6 years, the Holy Spirit has just been unfolding what it really means to be in Christ and it's to be that new creation being. But I wasn't connecting the two. But, you know, and even more continues to unfold for me. But he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, kainos creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So in Christ, you are a new creation, a kainos being, because the word new there says kainos in the Strong's, made in the very image of Christ. That new creation man, that new creation being, is made in the very image of Christ. Now, as Paul was encouraging the Galatians not to get themselves back into bondage, and he said, when you heard the gospel from the beginning, you were working signs and wonders and miracles. But when you tried to get back into bondage and started getting under the law, all those signs and wonders ceased, and they quit happening. Because all of a sudden, when you start trying to fulfill the law, then you have to fulfill it all, and then you're not, then you're in bondage again, and then they just stopped the flow of the supernatural. They stepped out of, they got back in their soulish man, and they were, what happened is they weren't living as Christ, who they are. They started living as the soulish man. Same thing that happened to Adam and Eve. All of a sudden, they lost their God consciousness because they tried to get back in the law, and they got back into sin consciousness. Now, as I say this, this is what can happen when we start getting too many formulas and too many plans that leaving you hope. All of a sudden, you're getting back into works. You're getting back into sin consciousness because you're all focused on the sin nature. You're all focused on, see what I'm saying? And you can get trapped in that, and then all of a sudden, you've lost God consciousness. Being seated, you've lost Christ consciousness. You're starting to operate out of your soulish man, the old man. Who's what? Passed away. You're buried. You're dead to it. So we, you know, connect the two there. Let's go look at Romans 8:29. For whom he foreknew, he also, talking about Jesus, he foreknew us. God, he foreknew us from the beginning, from the foundations of the world, also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. We were, he already went and made the sacrifice of the cross from the foundations of the world and predestined that we could be conformed to his very image and his very likeness from the foundation of the world. He already made a way of escape. We just had to be awakened to it. We had to become, we had to enter back into or be born again to become that new creation being, to start living out of our spirit instead of out of our soulish man. Now we are able to live from our spirit because we are a new creation. Kainos being. We're going to get into more what that means. Kainos. What does it mean to be a kainos? What does the word kainos mean? It's a new creation. New in kind. New in substance. A new species. Now that sounds kind of weird, but we're not earthly people. We're going to touch on that in a minute. We're no longer from this earthly realm. A new species. Something novel. Something totally different, something that's never been seen before. Now, all this is coming from the Strong's Concordance and from Vines also, dictionary. All has become new. It became new. A whole new reality. New world, new dimension. We step out of that soulish realm dimension into we're able to live from our spirit man. Once we become that new creation in Christ, all of a sudden, we're able to live from our spirit again. We just, you know, sometimes when we wonder, how can some of these people that haven't been brought up in religion, that have been living, I don't know if you've heard like I've heard, that there can be people that were just never raised up in the church, and they can get saved and just start walking in miracles and signs and wonders, and you're like, because they didn't have to get rid of all that religious background and religious teaching and you know, untether themselves from all that junk. You know, they were just like, oh, I get it. I'm a brand new being. I'm a new creation. I'm like Christ, created in his image. I can go out and do the works that Christ done and greater works. Because now that I'm a new creation being, I can live from my spirit. I can do what Christ done. And I don't know if I got a lot of these, some of those scriptures in here. I thought about it, but we'll find out. I can't remember. So new creation, new in kind, new substance. All those good things. It is being born from above. And we're going to touch on this a little bit. Your identity is in that new creation being. We're no longer identified in the old man. We are no longer identified in that old sin nature. And so we have to be careful because we don't want to get into all these formulas and all these manuals that have all these things, because we are starting to identify ourselves with the soulish realm. And we don't want to identify ourselves. We don't want to operate from that identity. We want to operate from the identity of being a kainos being, as from our spirit. We don't want to operate or identify ourselves from our soulish man. We are born again, a regenerated spirit man. You are a brand new creation. Brand new. Brand new creation when you ask Christ into your life. And some of us didn't even realize, we maybe have been saved for 50 years and we didn't know that we was a new creation in Christ. You know, I lived my whole youth and up until 10, 15 years ago, not even knowing, you know, didn't realize, because I've just lived under religion. It is your identity in that new creation being you're not normal in the human world governed by the sense realm. Did you know you're not normal? And you don't have to be governed by this sensual realm. The sensual realm was given to us that we could operate in the physical, in the natural. You know, if we didn't, when we were born, we had to learn how to operate out of our five physical senses so that we can learn touch, taste, see, how to operate in this natural realm. But as we're born again, then we have to learn how to operate out of our spiritual senses so that we know how to live and operate from the supernatural, from the spiritual realm, from the kingdom of heaven. And he says one way that we do this is that we have to do it by reason of use. And that's in Hebrews, I think, that we will grow in that. So we have to, like we were saying last week, a baby when they're first born and, you know, their eyes, that's one of your five physical senses, they couldn't see no more. They say, you know, when your mother's holding them, they can't see anymore from, you know, what is that, a foot or so, and see the mother's face, you know. But as they learned to use their eyes more and they practice using their eyes, they got to where they could see more. They get to their toddler stage, but they still don't have depth perception. So they have to learn, you know, as they practice, they'll learn depth perception. And this is the same thing. You know, in the supernatural, in the spiritual, we have to learn and practice and use our spiritual gifts so that we will become accustomed to walking in and using our spiritual gifts. So you're not normal in the human world governed sense. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So, in other words, I'm sharing this not to say that we're like this, but, you know, it was showing the, in other words, we're not supposed to be like mere men. He's saying, you're not mere men. You're not supposed to be a mere human being. You are a kainos being, a supernatural being, a created in Christ's very image and likeness now, to take on his image and likeness. So if you're acting and walking in your soulish realm, you're carnal and you're a mere man still. But if we want to move beyond that and start living this supernatural lifestyle and living from our spirit man, we have to move away from things of the flesh and operating out of our soulish man. Now, it's not works. It's just a matter of being awakened to what's available to us and living from the fullness of it. And like I said, it's not works, but it's just a matter of being awakened, learning, understanding, having knowledge of it, and beginning to access and use it and live from it. And I'll have some comparisons that I'll share maybe in another teaching that will kind of, I'm a visual person, so I want to share some visual things in this teaching. You are not of this world, of this world age, or this world system, or of the soulish man, the soulish realm. We are not of this. This is not the new creation being. Okay, John, I just gave some scriptural base. You guys want to look it up? I just want something to back it up that says that we're not of this world. But we are born from above. I'll go ahead and share one. I feel like Holy Spirit saying share one. John 15. John 15, verse 19 says, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." You're not of this world system. You're not of this world age. In other words, he's saying, don't you know that you're a new creation being? Don't you know that you're a kainos being? A different kind, a new species. You're not of this world. We are born from above. And I want to look at that a little bit. Born from above. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 23. says, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, you are from beneath. Now, he was talking to the Pharisees or whomever it was that was giving him a hard time about something. And he says, he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Now, this would make more sense if we were looking at three different realms that we live from, because the realms are linear. Your physical realm is at the bottom, then in the middle is your soulish realm, and then at the top is your is the glory realm, which we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we should, that is where the fullness of the kingdom of heaven, that's where our kainos being, that's where our spirit man is at. And he's telling them, you're from beneath. You're down here. You're living out of your soulish man and out of your physical being, because sometimes our body is telling our even our soulish man what to do. And it's just, they're both going haywire and doing their own thing. But he's saying, you're from beneath. You're living from your soulish man, from that old sin nature, from that old man that has passed away if you're a new creation being, if you come into that new creation encounter with God. But he says, I'm not from this. I'm from above. He's in glory, seated in heavenly places. We are to be in the image and likeness of Christ. So let's go look at John 17, verse 16. Jesus said, and he was talking about his disciples, and somewhere down there he was saying, it's not just these that he prayed for, but he said there will be others that will come, so the others are us, you know, the Gentiles and the others that will come into. Yes, so it includes us. He says, they are not of this world. Now, before he was saying, I'm not of this world. And here he's saying, they, talking about his chosen, those that have accepted him, those that have come into this, he says, they are not of this world, just as I am not of the world. We are in Christ. We are not of the soulish realm. Now, think of the three dimensions. I should have went ahead and got that up here. But we're not from below. We're not living from our soulish body, physical being, but we're from above, just as Christ is from above. John 17, 16. Yeah. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let's look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 33. Says, he who has received his testimony... And I think I have the wrong one. 333. Am I in the right? John 3:33. Yep, I have the wrong one.
John 3:33.
Yes. Jesus answered and said, probably hit the button one too many times. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Now, he was saying that he was born from above. So unless one is born again, and that born again, meaning born from above, born anew, kainos, born, and this is really cool how it said this, from the first. And remember, from the foundations of the world, he already went and predestined us to be in the image and likeness of God, to be born in him. So it means to be born again from the first, or again from the beginning. To be born again is to be born again from the beginning. So it's already been supplied for us. It's already happened. We have to be awakened to it. We have to come into it. We have to step into it. We have to accept it, you know. We have to know what's available to us. So as Christ is, so are you. And this is very important, because they would say, oh, well, that all sounds good, but I don't really believe it's for me. So we're going to defeat that little question that might be in your head or in your heart. 1 John 4:17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so are we in this world. Now notice it said in this world. It's not in the sweet by and by, because we always think it's for when we die and go to heaven. Well, heaven is within us. It's already here. We already have access to it. We're already seated into it if we've come into that salvation experience. So it's not, religion always wants to put it off in the distance, in a sweet by and by. But there's no distance in Christ. There's no sometime somewhere over the rainbow. It's now. It's right now. So as he is, so are you in this world. We should be a new creation. Man is to be Christ-like, is to be in his image, born from above, living from our spirit man and not from our soulish man, living from that new creation man. And we should be walking in, as we are awakened more, as we begin to come into more understanding, more awareness, the best term I can think of is to be awakened to it. But there is an example I'm going to use later on to help us understand a little more. I don't want to, like I said, I have a tendency to give away everything, and then you're like, wait, too much all at once. So once you give your life to Christ, now look at this. Once you give your life to Christ, you're no longer a natural, earthly being attempting to get into heaven. Now this is good because I know, and this is, we were brought up thinking that we spend our whole life trying to earn, trying to be holy, trying to get close to God. Or you may hear something that just, wow, I get excited, I want to operate in that, but I got to get really close to God so I can operate in that. I got to get holy enough, righteous enough. And we're made, we don't have our own righteousness. Adam and Eve, Adam had his own righteousness. When God breathed life into him, he had his own righteousness. But when the second Adam, when Christ came, he gave us his righteousness, because Adam lost his righteousness. So therefore, God says, wait, I got a fix for this. I'm going to give him my righteousness. And so we can't be, you know, we're only righteous because of him. We're only holy because of him. It's nothing that we can earn, nothing we can do. It's finished. You are not someone who is struggling through life. Now listen, if we get this and we mature into this, and sometimes it takes practice, we have to continue to operate. We have to remind ourselves daily. We have to shut down the thoughts and the things that are telling us the opposite, old soulish man, and we have to sometimes continually arise into who we are. Continually, when I done that series on rising in heavenly places, we have to continually until we finally get planted and fixed in it. We're not someone who struggles or is struggling through life on earth, hoping one day to escape the oppression of this earthly realm. Now, this is old religious teaching that I was brought up in. You know, I'm just going to hide myself away and wait for Jesus to come. You know, that isn't the life that God has for us. Absolutely not. Because in Christ consciousness, learning to live from our spirit, you have become a heavenly being who, I shouldn't say learning, aware that you have become a heavenly being. Awaken to the fact that you have full access, that you can live from your heavenly being who lives on earth, but whose citizenship is in heaven. Your very citizenship is in heaven. And sometimes we don't even think about it this like this. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. 2:19 says, now therefore, you are no longer strangers. Now listen, you're a new creation, kainos being. Therefore, you are no longer a stranger or foreigner, but a fellow citizen with the saints and members of the household of God. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Ephesians 3:15 says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. There's a family in the kingdom of heaven. Some of the saints have went on. Some, you know, are still here. If you got the teaching on cloud of witnesses, you know, it'll go into that more, describes it more. But we are citizens together with all the saints and the members of the household of the family of heaven. Is that, now listen, think of yourself as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. That new creation being is a citizen. If you're a citizen in heaven, then you have rights to all that heaven has available to you. As a citizen of America, you have rights to all, now we won't go into what our political climate's like right now, but you are, you know, you should have rights to all of your freedoms, all of, you know, all of these things that are made available to us as citizens of America. As citizens of heaven, the fullness of your inheritance, of the finished work of the cross, you have access to it all. We should be living from it. Now, thinking on earthly terms, some people don't know what their freedoms are. Some people don't know what things are made available to them. What things, you know, as say education or different things, they don't know what's available to them. Inheritance, different things like that. Same thing, you can become that new creation being, but if you don't know all that is made available to you, all the fullness that is there waiting for you to take, you know, just to live from it. All of these things that are made available, and we're going to start touching on some of this stuff as we go into this. So, the whole family in heaven and earth. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. This, I love this scripture. It is so rich. 12:22-24 says, but you have come as a new creation being, because now you're living from your spirit man, from your kainos being. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Now listen, because we're supernatural kainos beings, we also should be keeping company with angels. Now, a lot of people, now I'm not going to get into the weird, there was some weird teachings about angels, and you know, we're talking about the host of heaven here. We should be acquainted with our angels. Verse 23 says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, now this is what you have come unto, to God and the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now these are people that have gone unto heaven. There's the saints, there's just men made perfect that are in the kingdom of heaven. So when they say that you, people share testimonies that I've went in and I've talked to saints of old and I've talked to just men made, you know, this right here verifies it. It's legit. They're not having some supernatural new agey experience. You know, some people do, but you know, if you're keeping it grounded in the word. Verse 24 says, you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And that speaks of judicial things. So we're not going to leave the court teaching out of this, but we're going to clarify more how to operate in it. You've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. This is part of our citizenship. These are some of the things that are very... This is who... One time, several times I've shared about, Holy Spirit, I want to learn how to operate in the heavens and how, you know, I want to make myself more acquainted with it. And, you know, one way is you got to know what's available to you. I love to read the visions of Ezekiel and Daniel and some of those. And just to understand, you know, there's so many pictures of what the kingdom of heaven is like and what the operations in the heavens are like. And that's one way I can get myself accustomed to what it is like in heaven, so that I can, you know, it won't be something new to me. That's part of learning how to live from your spiritual senses, for, you know, using your spiritual senses as well. You got to know what's available to you. You know, just getting a picture of what the kingdom of heaven is like. And reading those is like a window or a doorway into that encounter. And when you read Ezekiel's experiences or John's experiences or Daniel's experiences, and I don't read them as foreboding, you know, some people fearful, the revelations of Christ, you know, revelations, people get scared to read it, you know, some people are afraid, but it's the revealing of Christ. It's the revealing of what it is to live in Christ. And when you read it from that perspective, it's no longer scary to you, you know. And we want to make it some future event that's terrifying, but it's the revealing of Christ, of living in Christ, living in the kingdom of heaven. So this is, I was saying that as we read their experiences and we read their encounters, it is a window or a door into their encounters. We can, as we read those, we can go and encounter those same experiences. We can have those and we can encounter them for ourselves. It's like a picture of what they walk through and we can walk in it and encounter the same thing. Does that make sense? Just like somebody shares a testimony, and I believe in the power of the testimony, we can have and share in that testimony. We can say, God, you know, I take that for myself. I want to have that type of encounter. I want to have those things. And I don't think that's envy. Envy is like you're jealous of them, and you're, you know, you start coming against them, speaking, you know, against them or whatever. That's envy and so forth. Let's go look at Philippians chapter 3. We are looking at being citizens of heaven. Why? Because we are kainos beings that are seated in the heavenly places. Philippians. I think I passed it. There it is. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, for our This couldn't be any plainer. For our citizenship is in heaven. So plain. Just, you know. But we miss these things, and we read over them, and we don't take them as truth. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're not careful in our religious teachings and background, we can say, see, now we have to wait. But wait for our Savior, that isn't meaning that we sit back and we're waiting for the, you know, God, I'm just going to sit back and wait for my Savior to come. We've already asked him. We've already become that new creation being. What we're doing is we're tending. That word wait means to tend to and to care for. We're waiting for our Savior, the fullness. We're tending to our relationship, spending time with him, setting aside time to spend with the Lord, our fellowship, our relationship. You have to take care of those things and tend to them. If you have a spouse or a child or anybody, if you don't spend time with them, if you don't take care of that relationship, if you don't have quality time with them, that relationship falls apart. You know, you'll just go your separate ways. The same thing with God, you know. If you want the fullness and you want, you know, reading Song of Solomon, you know, the psalmist said, you know, I go out and I'm looking for my lover. I'm looking for the one that I love, and my heart is to find him. And, oh, when I find him, I'm not going to let him go, you know. And it's like, God, let that be my heart. I'm looking. I'm searching. I want you. I want to spend time with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to have a relationship. I want to spend time with the Lord, waiting upon our Savior. And as we do that, then the fullness of salvation, the word Savior or salvation means sozo. It means the fullness, all in all that he has for us, the fullness of his inheritance, all that's available in the kingdom of heaven. We're waiting, we're tending to, we're taking care of that relationship that makes that available to us. If he's going to be our husband, we have to tend to and spend time with and take care of that relationship. If there's anything we have to do, that's what we do. We tend to and we wait upon our Savior. But we are citizens in the heavens. So when we have this perspective, now just think about this. If we have a heavenly new creation being perspective, when you live with this perspective, you will no longer struggle with failing self-effort. That's living from your soulish man or living from below. You will no longer struggle with a failing self-effort to achieve a salvation that you believe will only fully manifest after your life on earth is over. We've got the wrong perspective. But instead, your life will take on a new meaning, and the manifestation of a glorious kingdom life will flow through you while we live on earth, while we're here. There's a purpose that we are supposed to, as it is in heaven on earth, manifest the kingdom of heaven here. We're carriers of his glory for a reason. We're a door and a gateway of the kingdom of heaven for a reason, to release the kingdom. We are ambassadors of heaven for a reason. When an ambassador goes, they are a representation of who, whatever place they're ambassador of. We're ambassadors of heaven, ambassadors of Christ. We are to represent the kingdom of heaven, to bring its customs and, you know, whatever. You know, we won't go into all that. So the first part of this, I really wanted to lay that foundation of being a new creation being. Now, we can just say these things because our old soulish man is used to hearing and then letting it go. So we have to choose to wait or tend to our Savior. We have to choose to meditate upon, to let our focus be on this. Every time we recognize that we're living from a soulish mindset, falling back into those old patterns of thinking, then we have to ask Holy Spirit to help us, you know, correct us, bring us out of this. Give me your mind. Give me your heart. Think upon these things. Remember these things that were spoken tonight. That's why I tried to give us a little outline so that you can go back and you're like, well, I forgot, you know, some of the scriptures or whatever. And so you have something to go back and look at and say, okay, God, you know, help me. And as we do this, we're being awakened on deeper levels, a deeper understanding, a deeper knowing. Now, see, understanding and knowing, or the knowledge of Christ, is a knowing. It means you're becoming one with. Knowledge of Christ means you come to know. And to know means by experience. In Ephesians, when it's talking about to know, it means it's by experience. So we want to know by experience. We want to walk in this. We want to live in this. We want to become one with it. I want to know what it is to live from my kainos being. Amen. I don't know how much deeper to go into this. So next week, I want to look at kainos versus neos. There's two different news, such as the scripture where it says new wine being poured into old bottles, whatever. The new wine is talking about neos wine. It's new in time. It's new. It's the same thing, but it's something new. But if you need the new wineskin, it's a brand new thing. It has to be it's a kainos. It has to be put into something that's kainos. So we're going to look at, and using that scripture as a base, we're going to look at kainos versus, or neos versus kainos.